The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. See what I did there? Again, shout out to the always lovely and delightful Vegas chum for making that correction for me. We'll get to the NFC division odds coming up. We'll also hear from Mike Somich. Mike Somich has a couple college basketball plays. You know what else he has, Kelly? A couple hockey plays.
Samo bomb.
That's all I want to say.
After he does every one of those picks, you have to get him to go Samo bomb.
I feel like you have to.
To do that. A little later on, Michael Montesano, who won the Circa Millions Booby Prize, but also is a big college basketball head. He's got college basketball thoughts. He's got NBA awards thoughts as well. We will get into that. Joe Sheehan standing by to talk MLB season win totals with us. First, though, we get tweets. We get texts. This text is from Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. I was just talking about how I like the Bengals as my favorite bet in the AFC of all those division plays. He texts, Bengals three last place field games. So what he means by that, again, are not within division, but schedule dictated out of division games. Three last place games, Carolina, Tennessee, New England. They have an enormous advantage since the three other AFC North teams have to play three games versus good, decent teams. But the Bengals get those three cupcakes. So add that to that mix.
Nice. There we go.
There you go.
That's backing it up a little bit more. I like it. Yeah. That's one I'm interested to see what numbers we get as soon as they're released in town.
Yeah.
In roughly 3 months.
By the time we get them, it won't be anywhere close to this price. Because when Nevada gets legalized sports betting.
Woo!
Oh, boy.
Watch out.
We might not even show up to work. It's going to be so exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some Major League Baseball season win totals with the gentleman who is the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter. And he joins us now from, we just determined he is not in Australia. That's what we determined off air. The Joe Sheehan Baseball newsletter, by the way, and Joe Sheehan joins us now. How you doing, Joe? Great to see you, man.
Good, Gil. What's going on, man?
Doing very well. It's your time of year, man. It's happening. Your excitement level for the upcoming baseball season? 11 on the Spinal Tap amplifier?
Pretty excited. I mean, all of these seasons the last few years have started out weird. You had the pandemic, you had the lockout, you had the rules changes. This feels like the first season we don't have this massive thing hanging over it for a while. So I think this is a time in baseball where you've got all of this incredible young talent. We saw a lot of it come up last year. Now you've got guys like Jackson Merrill, Jackson Holliday, Jackson Churio, and even players who aren't named Jackson set to make an impact.
Even those. All right. Without further ado, let's start with one. I know you have three of these coming. Give me your first season win total that you love.
Yeah, I gave this out at 83.5 a couple weeks ago. It's actually moved up to 84.5 with the Bellinger signing. I think the Cubs are incredibly undervalued right now. You've got a team that basically played to about an 88, 89 win skill level last year. Of course, they lost a lot of one-run games, had a lot of close games. They missed the playoffs by a game. But the baseline talent was always there to win the division. Now you look at them this year and they retained Bellinger. They haven't really gone out and improved a lot, but where their improvement's going to come from is internally. The Cubs had a lot of problems under the Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer management, developing their own pitching. They had about a 5-year stretch where they've got almost no innings at all for homegrown pitching. But you look at the team this year and you've got, in addition to the frontline starters that they have, you look at the rotation. Justin Steele had the great year last year. You look at Jameson Taillon, I think, is going to have a comeback. But Hayden Wisniewski, Jordan Wicks, Cade Horton, Ben Brown, they have internal depth that hasn't really been there for them in recent years. They've gone out. The bullpen's actually going to be a strength for them. Javier Assad's going to be out there. They traded for a kid from the Dodgers named Yency Amonte is going to help them. I see a depth there that's going to help them in two ways. One, obviously, you can use these guys to get through a season. But also, when we get to midseason and we start talking about the trade deadline and going out and making improvements, the Cubs are going to be as well-positioned as anybody to make those additions. And one of the things I like to look at when I'm talking about season win totals is not just how does this team look now, but how is this team going to look after the deadline on August 1st? I think the Cubs are going to get better as the season goes on. So I really love this number.
Yes. And would they more likely be a buyer or seller as that trade deadline approaches?
Yep.
Exactly. That corroborates my, that was the Cubs over was my second favorite season win total. I love that you're on them. I mentioned Seiya Suzuki as well, right? Monster second half of last year, 938 OPS. So a lot to look forward to with the Cubbies this year. Okay, number two, sir.
The Guardians. And this is a little bit of a history thing. The Guardians basically just haven't been bad in the last decade. And the big change they made, of course, is Terry Francona retiring, turning the reins over to Stephen Vogt. Now, this isn't a reason to make this pick. I have to be honest with you. This has me a little bit nervous. Stephen Vogt was, I mean, 18 months ago, Stephen Vogt hit a home run. I mean, he was playing that recently.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And he has no dugout experience. He's no it's very risky. And we've seen teams do this. You know, Walt Weiss a couple of years back basically got pulled off the street. The Yankees pulled Aaron Boone out of the broadcast booth and gave him a managerial job. So this kind of a thing. Teams are saying, if we like the guy enough, we don't care about the experience. But I look at the Guardians, I look at an incredibly weak division still, even though the Royals have gotten a little better, the Tigers have gotten a little better. I look at last year with the injuries to Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, they had to bring up a lot of young starters. Tanner Bibee pitched well, Gavin Williams, Logan Allen. So now you get McKenzie and Bieber back, and you've got this really strong five-man rotation where, to me, you know, Allen's the worst of the five, and he's basically a league average starter. You know, the bullpen should be good. Again, this is where we're going to learn a lot about Vogt, whether he's actually able to run that bullpen the way Francona did. Concerns always with the Guardians about whether they're going to hit. They traded for a Rays prospect named Kyle Manzardo at last year's trade deadline. He's somebody who's going to hit for average, hit some doubles, kind of the Wally Joyner, Mark Brace type. Doesn't look like those guys, but that's kind of hitter he's going to be. A lot of it for me, Gil, though, is just it's the division. The White Sox are going to be the worst or the second worst team in baseball. And even though we've balanced the schedules a little bit, it's still 52 games within the division. It's 39 games against the White Sox, Tigers, and Royals. So I look at all of this, and I think the Guardians, actually, to me, they're the favorite in the division ahead of the Twins, because I just don't trust the Twins' pitching depth. So I think 500 is the baseline for them. So I've actually got about 2.5 wins of cushion between where I think they're going to land and where the number is.
Yeah, I think you can make the case for Jose Ramirez being a good MVP play at his current number as well.
Yep.
You terrified the four 14-year-old girls who listen to this show who happened to be in their dad's car when you said Justin Bieber got hurt. I just want to point that out. The Stephen Vogt thing, though, is that we shouldn't just gloss over that. Like the Guardians brass said they knew within 5 minutes of talking to him that he was their manager. Do you ever remember anything equivalent to this before?
Not really. Like I say, that's the kind of thing you say after the fact because you want to really sell it. So I don't want to put too much weight in that. But again, we've seen this where guys have gotten basically pulled off the street to manage it. It's a mixed bag because, generally, I mean, you're not going to have total randoms. They're not going to do that with total randoms. Stephen Vogt, as a player, was well-respected.
Yes.
He was somebody talked about as a future manager. It's not like they're giving the job to Kelly or something. You know, it's a...
Jeez. Wow.
It's just... I personally prefer to have managers who've had some experience in the dugout, who've had some experience getting through a season that way. And that's my one concern with this team. And, you know, Rocco Baldelli, just pick the other relevant team in the division. I have a lot of respect for Baldelli. I think he's somebody who didn't have a ton of managerial experience, but had a little bit. I believe he was a minor league manager when he took over the Twins. And I think that's an edge the Twins have in this division. But I look at the talent base, particularly on the pitching side, I think that will overcome.
No one manages bullpen arms like Kelly Bidlin, Joe.
Hey, if that kid in Little Big League can do it, I can do it, okay?
All right, one last one. What do you got?
Yeah, I mentioned the Cubs earlier last year playing to a baseline higher than their total wins. The Padres actually had the largest gap in baseball. The Padres were basically a 90-win team last year, but they were 1-13 in one run in the extra inning games, 5-82 or something. And I don't have these numbers in front of me, guys. Forget it. But their one run and extra inning record was among the worst in baseball history. Now, granted, they traded Soto for pitching. That's a loss, but that's a loss based on their. So if you look at them as a 90-win team, okay, now they're an 85-win team, as opposed to, okay, well, they were an 83-win team, and now they look like a 78-win team. So you've got to start from that higher baseline when we're talking about this. Now, there's some risk involved in this. Pitching depth is a question. You know, they got exposed last year when Darvish and Musgrove got hurt. They went out and traded for a lot of back-end pitching. Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito, Drew Thorpe, and all of those guys came over in that Yankees trade. And the bullpen should still be good, even without Hader. They went out and got Yuki Matsui from NPB, Woo Suk Go from the Korean League. Typically, relievers coming over from Asia have hit the ground running. So I think there will be improvements in that bullpen, at least for 2024. I'm not sure how long they'll stay that way. But there's been a lot of successive relievers coming over. So I think that's going to be a strength for them. You know, Mike Schilt, obviously he's got a winning track record with the Cardinals. I'm not sure how much he had to do with that. Not a great tactical manager, not particularly good at running a bullpen. So there's some concern there to fall off from Melvin. But again, I'm talking about a team that was basically a 90-win team last year, and I'm getting them at 81.5. I just really love that number.
Joe? It is my single favorite season win total. What you just said, you and I did not talk before this. We did not plan this. We agree on that. By the way, the Padres 2-12 in extra inning games alone last year, 2-12.
Right. But it was like 0-12 on September 15th. I think they won the last two.
That's right. Which again, that alone, you turn that around and it was a different story, but yes, based on, Pythag, based on, sequencing, they were really a better team than what they finished in the standings to begin with. And again, as you said, that you're not asking them to win 100 games. You're not asking them to win 90. You're just asking them to go above 500 here to cash this one. Joe, great talking to you. Great seeing you. Enjoy the season. We'll talk many times, sir.
Thanks, Neil. Take care.
Joe Sheehan, everybody, the author of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. You can find out all the information about that on his X feed at Joe_Sheehan.
Joe's awesome.
Took a little shot at you about the being.
Oh, he's
manager.
Allowed to. Joe's allowed to. We love Joe. He's one of those people. Every time we hear him, I'm like, I should be smarter on the sports I talk
about. He's awesome. We love him. We'll come back. We had so much fun talking AFC. We'll talk NFC division next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter,
money line rollovers. Learn all about them.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. The virtues of the money line rollover versus making a futures play. That's in Bill 80's lovingly done VSiN daily newsletter.
Yep.
Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. We were talking with Joe Sheehan. By the way, how great is Joe Sheehan? So much fun.
He's awesome.
How about we match on my top two? Cubs and Padres over. We did not discuss that beforehand. And he was joking when he was talking about Stephen Vogt and you as a manager. But you said off air, you're like, there is one thing as a manager you think you'd be good at.
Oh, I think I'd be amazing at the pull the pitcher walk to the mound to pull the pitcher.
Yes.
It'd be great. I really want to, you know, give me the lefty. Lefty out of the pen, you know. I really want to use the old...
Soaked in disappointment.
I want to use the old school... Do they still use the old school phones, like landlines are in the dugout?
Yes, they do.
We haven't upgraded from that yet still for some reason. Yeah. Like, I really want to, you know, I want to see my starter walk someone like, have this disgusted expression, have the cameras catch me, pick up the old...
I think you would take distinct pleasure in taking the ball from his hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Give him a little slap.
Oh, you know me. I'm a very inspiring guy. Be like, look...
Yeah,
Joe, you just didn't have it today, okay? Like, yeah, give me the ball. Lefty, let's go. Come on.
All right, we had some.
Those pants would be really flattering, too.
You'd look great in a baseball uniform. Yeah. Absolutely. We had fun doing the AFC division odds. Again, just had not seen them before. Just throw them up on the screen and get initial reactions. And I felt like Cincinnati winning the AFC North at +170. That was the best bet on that board. Let's take a look at the NFC division odds, which are up at DraftKings. Nice job by everybody putting these up. Let's start with the NFC North. The Lions, a heartbeat away this year from getting to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
+155. Closely followed by the Packers. Jordan Love and the Packers at +240. And the Chicago Bears.
What?
+360. Wow, this is the tightest of all divisions, top to bottom. So Lions +155, Packers +240, Bears +360, obviously holding the number one pick in the draft, and then the Vikings at +450. No other division is this close from top to bottom. Does anything surprise you about the Bears at +360?
There are multiple surprises to me in this division. Okay, at the current... I understand there's a lot of things that could change with the Bears and the Vikings.
Yeah.
Right now, you would put the Bears as a shorter price than the Minnesota Vikings?
I would not.
Okay.
No.
I mean, not that, I assume you, by you asking,
you wouldn't either.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. Like, not at all. And not that that does anything for us on March, you know, on March 4th to go bet this
right now. Yeah, and I don't think there's a bet here for me either.
I'm just surprised they're the fourth shot in this instead of the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, there's no bet, but that's the one crazy thing. I mean,
this is the other one I'll bring back up because we talked about this a lot with the Wards. The Packers. Okay, you see a lot of love for Jordan Love. Didn't mean to do that, but, you know, no pun intended, yeah, sure. But did it. Yeah, you know, yeah. We see Jordan Love up there in the MVP odds. We see LaFleur up there in the Coach of the Year odds. I brought this up every time. Yep. Bet this heavy, the Packers division price, if you really like one of those two, and then sprinkle from there. Those guys are most likely not winning those awards without the Packers winning this division.
Also, there's no, how can I put this? There's no hero points here, right? Like, if you hit the Packers at plus 240 right now at the beginning of March, it's like golf clap for you. I just, it's just no
bet. Although, I guess, do you think you're thinking it's Lions or Packers that win this division next year,
no,
right?
No, what I'm saying is there's not a price there that's juicy enough or compelling enough for me to even get involved, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Right.
Whereas the Bengals, I feel like they might be the best team in the conference, let alone the division.
Right. Yeah,
and you won't find that price again. This one, I think, will just rotate at different points during the season.
Yeah.
Some point, the Packers will be the short shot. The Lions will probably be the short shot most of the time. Who knows? Maybe the Vikings get off to a big start, right? Like, if they still have Kirk Cousins, which I assume they will.
I guess the only one I'd bring up is that plus 240 might be a great price if you're able to beat the move if, let's say, Minnesota moves on from Kirk Cousins.
Right, but what I'm saying is over a course of an NFL season, there will be enough ups and downs that I think this division, unlike the Bengals, who I think, yes, they might have a swoon at some point, but generally speaking, I think they're going to be great.
Yeah, and you're never going to hate having plus 170 in your pocket.
NFC South. Falcons plus 130. Who will their quarterback be? We don't know yet. Buccaneers just re-signed Mike Evans. In case you missed it, maybe Baker Mayfield stays. They're at plus 225. Saints are 3-1, and then the Panthers a distant 10-1. I mean, there's no bet here either. No.
Not right now.
Nope.
Not right now. I mean, this is the Falcons. I mean, I like the Falcons to win this division, just like the odds makers, I guess, right now. I like the Falcons to win this division, just like they do with us having no idea who their quarterback is. Yes, I expect them to make a change there and it to get better, but you can't bet this right now.
NFC East. All right. Let me ask you about this. Mm-hmm. Cowboys are plus 110, Eagles plus 150. Those two teams have been the short shots in this division in recent memory at this time of year. Commanders, please change the name, 8-1, Giants 9-1. Commodores have the second pick in the draft. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, who knows? Is there enough, like, in other words, if someone said to you, well, I actually think, insert Drake May's name or Jaden Daniels' name, is going to be awesome. I think they are about to draft a spectacular find. Then you have those fleet of wideouts, and you've got some parts on defense. Would 8 in a division that has a different division winner every year for over two decades, is there a... Would you take a flyer because it's that long of a number and because the Eagles wobbled? And I got nothing bad to say about the Cowboys, but I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to figure out if this is this a, like, ANG fans, start your clocks now?
No, I'm trying to manufacture a bet in the NFC, and I can't see anything else. But I'm saying at 8-1, in other words, the Panthers are 10-1. I'd rather take the commodes at 8-1 than I would the Panthers at 10-1. That might be stupid, by the way, because the NFC South is such a free-for-all.
It's funny.
But I'm just saying.
I would too.
There are many things we think we know at this time of year. But remember, the NFL always produces a surprise.
Yeah.
This division always produces a different winner. I'm just saying 8-1, is that sexy enough to have in your account?
Maybe. And look, this would be if for a team like that, right?
Just because they have the number two pick in the draft.
Right. For a team like that or the Patriots or something like this actually would be the time. Like, no matter who they draft, that number is going to get shorter. right? Because people are going to go and bet it right as the draft. So that number is going to get shorter. So I think it goes back to, you know, the biggest point, and pro tip, we've brought this up before with the awards. Just if you're betting anything right now, bet something that you think is going to get shorter.
That's right.
Between now and the start of the season, you think this number is going to get shorter than what it is. And you're, I think the Commanders will, no matter who they take.
And I guess what I'm saying is, it, on the one hand, if it's not a team like the Bengals who you think could win an actual Super Bowl, who's at plus money to win a division, take a long shot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so that'd be mine.
I will say on the East, because I brought this up a couple of times when we hit on some of the awards markets and stuff, that they... that the Eagles, I thought they were going to be, I thought in some of the awards markets, they were a little, had gone a little too far with price. It seemed like all the Eagles guys were priced way longer than Cowboys guys. So I was interested to see what these division odds are going to be. These feel about right to me. I don't know about you, like the Eagles versus Cowboys price.
Yeah, everything seems
That feels about
based
right.
Based on sentiment. Me. NFC West, Niners, Super Bowl runner-ups. Minus 190, Rams plus 350, Seahawks, new head coach, plus 650, Cardinals 13-1. I mean, if the Niners weren't that great, if the Niners weren't so great is what I'm saying, then maybe there'd be a play, but the Niners are just great.
Yeah. Replace them though with a, I don't know, a Lions even. I think I might be making a play on the Cardinals at that long of a number. But you're right. The Niners are too dominant. I'm not doing it.
I'd rather have the taco holders at 8-1 in the East than the Cardinals at 13-1 in the West. Because the Niners can withstand multiple injuries, as we've seen.
Yeah.
And still have enough talent to win that division.
Yeah, I think it would be. I was kind of high on the Rams last year. Like that number feels too short on the Rams. I know there's a lot of excitement for the Rams coming into this next season. That feels a little too short at plus 350.
Yeah. Seahawks might feel a tick long.
Yeah, they do. And Cardinals, I kind of have a feeling I'll be in on an overwin total bet on them this year. Interested to see what that number is. But they get Marvin Harrison there. You get Kyler Murray. You know, you got him back healthy next year. I think that team could be a little dangerous down there.
Well, I can't wait till we have these in Nevada, as we said earlier. Somebody put them up.
I'll check on the break. Maybe Caesars or MGM does. I have no idea.
Oh, they could have them.
They could, yeah. Maybe. They could.
But I guess no.
My guess is no.
Yeah. Mike Somich will join us from The Handle. We'll talk college hoops. He's got a couple plays in college hoops. Get his thoughts on the tournament coming up, as well as a couple hockey plays. And Mike Montesano will join us, talk college basketball as well. Conference tournaments are finally here. Well, at least one of them today. More tomorrow. More to follow. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. So typical. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. And if that weren't enough, our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG for all the March mania.
That's not what it stands
for. Back to you, Gil.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. ANG is the promo code. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. People are like, all the March mania. AMM. That doesn't sound right. We had tweets at Beating the Book. Los Vegas 514. Please change the name. Yo. Talking about the
Commanders?
The Commodes.
Hopefully. My name? A numbers game? What do we want to change?
I don't know. Chris Heath. Hi, Gil. Are these season win totals bets the kind you make limit bets on? I'm seeing Circa allows 3K on the app. And where did you shop? Thanks. I actually played it at Circa. The Padres, I played at Circa. Not max, but it's a significant bet. Yeah, not quite max. Didn't max it.
Cool.
J&J Watering Hole. Kelly, as a manager, I'm taking the over 2.5 on the number of hamstring calf injuries walking to the mound for the season from you. it's just so messed up. And yet so true. Chris Hartman.
In 6 months, Gil, I have torn a calf muscle playing football with you, and then severely sprained my ankle in front of Kurt Warner at the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's true. You did.
That was really bad.
At Media Row.
So bad.
Chris Hartman. With Kelly talking about his walk to the mound, the vision Kelly playing Art Howe in Moneyball popped in my head.
Yeah.
People really are inspired by your walk to the mound. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the co-host of The Handle here at VSiN. We're not sure what his co-host name is, but it's Mike Somich, everybody. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, man. Just rotating co-hosts right now. I had Stormy, had JVT this weekend. Who knows will be there with me next weekend.
Of course, we're talking about our buddy Matt Brown that you do the show with. Mike, before we get it, because I know you have a couple hockey plays, I know you have a couple college basketball plays. What college basketball futures do you possess, sir, and who do you think can actually win this? How many teams and which?
Man, I don't think it's more than a handful. I think it's going to be a pretty wild March Madness. I have a lot of teams on my do not trust list. Kansas, Kentucky, Alabama, I think are all logical teams to get bounced pretty early. I think when you're talking about winning it all, there's just a couple teams at the top that make sense. I think you've got, UConn obviously coming back. They look like they're going to be very tough in this tournament. Houston, I think, has answered some of the issues around their offense, and their defense can be absolutely stellar. I'm a little higher on Arizona than a lot of people are. I realize the Pac-12 is not great, but the team feels complete to me, and we don't know how good they are because of some of the competition that they've played. The dark horse I like, give me North Carolina at 20-1. Ooh. I think they've got a shot because they can ramp it up defensively and they can score on anybody. Those are the type of teams that I like. I mentioned Kentucky. I mentioned Alabama. I don't trust their defense one iota. North Carolina, I feel like, can bring that defensive intensity when they need to. And then my bomb here, I took a little bit of Florida at 75-1. They've got good guard play in the backcourt. They can shoot the three ball well on a neutral site. So I think Florida has an outside shot at a big number, but I think the list is pretty small here, and it's mainly those top teams. I'm going to be playing some more of the Final Four bets to me. I think there you have the opportunity to get one or two teams out of those brackets to make the Final Four, but it's much more difficult for them to be able to win the whole tournament at a big number.
Well, this feels like more of a Final Four bet kind of year than any other, because I know you said only a handful. I mean, I do a college basketball formula. 6 qualify, 2 just on the doorstep. Like, I don't ever remember there being 8 that potentially could qualify to win it all. The whole point of the exercise is to winnow it down more narrow. You can't really do it this year. And so I have a Final Four bet on UConn plus 180. I have one on BYU at 12-1, which I made earlier in the year. I think that is the market that many ought to consider. I would agree with that. Let me just ask you about a few of these teams that you didn't mention. Auburn, Marquette, Tennessee. You don't think those three could win at all?
Tennessee would be the highest of the three that I'm interested in. They're able to score inside and outside and have some ability on the defensive side to stop people. They're another one of those teams that likes to run, likes to score. And the problem with those type of teams is that doing it 6 games in a row, incredibly difficult. Doing it 4 games and getting to the Final Four is definitely possible for some of these, but doing it 6 in a row is tough. Marquette, I have a little more interest in. We've seen them play very good basketball a couple times or multiple times this season. But again, I don't know if they can win it all. It's getting over that final hump for me that is the issue with some of these teams. It's why I like the idea of when the brackets come out, playing some Final Four numbers. I do have a Duke plus 550 to make the Final Four ticket in account as well right now. But depending on the regions and who breaks down in these 1 and 2 holes, then going to teams like Marquette, going to teams like Tennessee, that's where I'm going to be a little more interested in. I think Tennessee needs the right path to be able to do it. And the problem with Tennessee is I think when they face off against a UConn, face off against a Houston, they run into some issues.
Yeah. I invoked Danny Manning and the Miracles. For those of us of a certain age, 1988, Danny Manning just put his Kansas teammates on his back and won an NCAA title. And there are some games where Dalton Connect, you're like, well, that wasn't yesterday, by the way, but some games where you're like, that dude is unbelievable. Last three, Purdue, Creighton, Duke. Any thoughts on those three?
Purdue, no thanks. I just can't trust them. They're better than that last year. Look, they're not going to bow out in the first round like they have the last couple of years. They have a little more diverse scoring outside of just Edie, but I just don't trust them long-term, specifically their coach, to be able to make the right moves when you're talking about having these matchup games, time to prepare, and then being able to adjust in-game. Duke, I do like. I have a couple issues with Shire there as the coach, but I think he does have this team playing well at the right time. Like I said, I do have them in the Final Four there. What was the third team there?
Duke, Creighton, Purdue. Creighton.
Creighton. look, Creighton, for me, the bugaboo with them is the home road splits. I mean, they shoot the ball so well at home. When they go on the road, they can struggle. And when you get to the Sweet 16, you get to the Final Four, you're playing in these big gyms and the sight lines change for you. That's my biggest concern with Creighton. If I had confidence they could shoot the ball on neutral sites consistently, they'd be another team I consider a championship contender.
Yeah, it's very BYU-ish with the home road splits as well. All right, you have two college basketball plays today. What do you got?
Yeah, I do. First one, let's go to a little bit of a lower level conference, the Mid-Eastern Atlantic Conference here. I like Howard tonight, laying the 4.5 against the Delaware State Hornets. Delaware State coming off a win against Norfolk, the number one team in the conference. That's a huge win for them at home. Now we got the Howard Bison on senior night, taking on Delaware State. I think it's a letdown spot here for Delaware State. And Howard, that win was huge for them because that win set up a situation where if they win tonight, they get to go to Norfolk State in the final game of the year to be able to play for the conference title. I think you're going to see a motivated Howard team. This is a possible letdown spot for Delaware State. So I'm willing to lay the 4.5 here in this spot.
Howard University, Kelly. Nothing greater than a Friday afternoon on the quad at Howard University. What's your other one?
Other one, we're going to the under here. Eastern Washington Eagles heading into Sacramento State. Total sitting at 143.5 right now. This is all about who can control the pace. We saw this game in Eastern Washington. It would have gone over this total. However, Sacramento State's a team that plays significantly slower. They're averaging just 65 a game. They give up just 69 a game. They have the ability to control the pace. If you look at their home games, they're consistently playing in the 120s and 130s. If Sacramento State's able to slow this down, I think this number is 10 points too high. I think Eastern Washington's going to speed it up a little bit here, but I think Sacramento State does control the pace for the majority of the game. Eastern Washington also shot 50% from three in that game at home. If they had shot 40%, that would have gone under. So playing against that three-point variance a little bit and trusting Sacramento State can control the pace, let's take the under 143.5 with the Eagles and the Hornets here.
All right, Howard laying the points, Eastern Washington, Sacramento State, the under 143.5. All right. I am told you have two. We talked NBA nearing the quarter pole, actually at the quarter pole. Hockey nearing the quarter pole as well on their season. You have a couple hockey plays.
I do. Let's talk about the game of the night. Look, if you're watching sports tonight, turn on the Panthers Rangers, two best teams in the Eastern Conference, two phenomenal goaltenders, two teams that can score, but also two of the best defensive teams in the NHL. We saw this total get hammered toward the under. It's already -125 to the under six goals. I'm going to go to the under first period here. The first period lined at 1.5. Let's take the under there. You can get -105. This is a spot where we're starting to see playoff hockey between these very good teams. That means you're seeing tighter checking, you're seeing less penalties, and you're seeing a more conservative outlook, especially early in these games. Been like loving the first period unders the last couple days. We're going back to it here. Give me the first period under 1.5, Panthers and Rangers. Then other play from the ice. Let's go to Philadelphia, the Blues heading in to take on the Flyers. This is a St. Louis team that had a nice stretch, but now they're just kind of spinning their wheels. And a Flyers team that's been absolutely pouring the puck into the net, scored at least 5 goals in the last 4 games. Let's lay the price here. We're going to lay 1.5 with the Flyers, but get a big plus money number on it, +175. I think the Flyers are able to score tonight, and the big struggle for the Blues is scoring. If the Flyers can get to 4, they're going to go cover this 1.5.
Samobom.
Oh, yeah.
I totally didn't know that explosion was coming.
Wow. Matt Hicks was on standby for that.
Hicks getting it done.
Samo Bob.
Matt, always appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Very thorough.
Yeah, no problem. Good to see you guys. And good luck with everything this week.
Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle, noon Saturday and Sunday, along with the gentleman that we like to call Matt Brown.
That's right.
Noon to 3. 3 hours of radio program.
Good stuff. Leads right into Live Bet Sunday.
What's his Twitter? Samo Bomb what? What is it? Samo Bomb something.
Oh, I'll have to pull it. We're running out of time. Samo Bomb. I don't have him in front of me. We'll be right back.
I think it's Samo Bomb 18. We'll check it out. Coming back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. That, again, is a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN, that's V-S-I-N, when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, it's so funny, the stuff we say that that locks into people on Twitter. Good friend, Shillionaire. Sign up pronounced arm swing Kelly for any job that includes walking, especially walking to the mound.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He does. I got to say it again. Pronounced arm
swing. You get a little anger in the arm swing, too. Yeah. Because that speeds you up. You know, you walk a little faster.
Again, for those who missed it, if I happen to catch Kelly on the way in about, you know, like by the escalators here, it's a contact sport walking next to him.
I'm gonna guess my restroom walk during breaks, or it's even more pronounced. get there a little quicker.
Propels you forward.
Exactly.
This gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, won the Circa Millions Booby Prize back in 2021. I believe that was the year. He won $100,000 for finishing with the worst record. But while doing that, not only is he able to bizarro sharp his NFL, he's very sharp at college basketball and pro as well. It's Michael Montesano. How you doing, Mike?
Very good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Let's start with pro basketball. Let's start with a couple awards. You have some very defined thoughts on a couple awards. You want to start with most improved player?
Yeah, we'll go into the most improved markets. Full disclosure, at the end of October, I did take Tyrese Maxey at plus 450 for most improved, and I just kind of just left it there. And, you know, what I like to do is to go into the markets, look at the odds, and just kind of then go in and see what the actual numbers that the players are performing at, just see if it kind of correlates. Well, I just went into the Maxey and Jalen Williams market, and I'm going to give you some numbers for Tyrese Maxey. This year, his true shooting percentage is 57.5%. His total rebound percentage is 5.5. His assist percentage is 26.5 with a usage of 27.8. So how does that relate into improvement? Well, I just look at the PER from last year. His PR last year was 17.0. It is this year 19.9 with an improvement of 2.9 in his player efficiency rating. His points per game is up 5, and that's, you know, I think when voters, that might be the first and easiest way out to go look, and his points per game is up at 5.7 points per game. When I looked at Jalen Williams, I just shook my head. I mean, and this guy is like 14-1 in the market or 16-1, and this was like a week ago, and he hasn't really moved. His true shooting percentage is 62.6%. His total rebound percentage is 7.1. He does have a little bit of a lower assist percentage than Maxey at 20.7, but his usage percentage is lower at 23.2. His PER last year was 15.6. His PER this year is 18.7. Yes, that is a little bit lower than Maxey's, but his overall numbers, he's plus 3.1. An improvement for his player efficiency rating. His points per game has increased 5.2 points per game. I guess I just don't understand the odds right now. I mean, if this is a most improved award, I mean, these numbers are pretty comparable to each other, and it's just at minus 650, I just don't see it.
Yeah. I still want you to win your bet, Kelly. I'm just saying the pricing is off.
No, you want me, myself, and Michael to both lose our bets that we already have made.
That is not true. I want you both to cash.
I did make the 14-1 bet on Jalen Williams last week. I did do that. I mean, I will win a lot more if Jalen Williams wins it. Will he win it? I just don't know. I don't know if the voters are going to go in that in depth. I think that just the easy way out is to give it to Maxey. But now if we're going to go about the team award aspect of it, I mean, they're like a 6 seed right now. They're going to be in the play-in, probably the participation in the play-in game. And then, you know, OKC is number one. So, I mean, can we add some team aspect to that award? I don't know.
Well, speaking of that, Mike, you've led me right into the trap of defensive player of the year, where Victor Wembanyama's odds are now sneakily, is that a word, 7-1.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we look at this award, it's all about what has been done in the past as opposed to what could historically be done coming up. And the easy way out is to say, well, a top three team, we just give it to the best player. I mean, I think that's an easy way out for the voters. But what he's doing right now is something we've never seen before. And if it's something we've never seen before, why is that not taken into consideration? I mean, you're looking at the Spurs last year were dead last in defense, dead last. They have improved. They're up to 24. But if you look at their numbers since, I believe, the end of December, they won that super long losing streak. It's either the middle of December, end of December. Pop's kind of made a schematic change. and he moved Wemby to start guarding more centers, and their defense has kind of taken off. Are they great? No, they're not great, but they have improved. They're about average now since that time. They held the Pacers last night to, you know, the high flying Pacers to a little over 100 points. But his numbers are just dwarfing Gobert's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the defensive player. Okay. I understand his team is not playing well defensively, but if you go to a stat like StatMuse, okay, they have Minnesota has four players in the top 20 in defensive rating. I don't know how they come up with the ratings. They do have Gobert number one, but they have Wemby number two. Okay. But it, I mean, why is that not a consideration when you have three or four other of the top defensive players that's helping your team? I guess I know that's up for the voters to decide. I just think we really need to take a long, hard look in the next 2 weeks. I think I said to you, I think this market is going to slowly start creeping down because the word's going to get out with what the numbers that Wemby's putting up is just, it's just something we've never seen before.
I've been beating this drum. I couldn't agree
more. Will he win two awards? Yeah, I don't know.
That's
the
thing.
He's going to win two awards.
That's the thing. Do they want to give him two awards? Right. That is always the thing. Human beings. The flawed brains of humans will get in the way of this. All right. Atlantic Sun tournament starts today. It is the first of the conference tournaments. It sort of traditionally is now the first of the tournaments to start. A couple games of the A-Sun. You actually have a play in that conference tournament.
Yeah, I have a little a small play on Lipscomb to win the title at 3-1. It's at DraftKings. They're the better offensive team. Every defense in that conference is pretty much similar. I mean, their strength of schedules are all similar. But Lipscomb can shoot the ball. They're the better offensive team. And if they can get to the finals against Eastern Kentucky, I would say that, I believe it would be on Eastern Kentucky's floor. They would probably be a 2-point underdog, I would think. And maybe you could come back. And if you wanted to monetize that ticket at 3-1, you could probably do something like that. Cause Eastern Kentucky would probably be a small favorite on the money line, probably minus 140, 150, if that's the case. But it's just something that I really like to look at the offensive teams in these tournaments. And we all hear defensive wins championships. Well, the game of college basketball has completely changed over the last 10 years. Yes, you have to have a very good defensive team. But in smaller tournaments like this, I think we were going to take the better offensive team in the conference.
Lipscomb, little sprinkle on Lipscomb there to win the A-Sun, and just to get their exact number at DraftKings, 3-1 right now as we speak. Okay, got 90 seconds left here, Mike. I'm going to ask you the same thing I just asked of Mike Somich here moments ago, which is how many teams legit do you think could win March Madness, and are you dabbling more and more in the Final Four market more than the outrights?
I think we have, you know, probably five or six teams that can win it. Teams can play their way into potentially winning the national championship. I have dabbled in the Final Four market. I have BYU at 12-1. I have BYU in every which way for futures. I don't even want to get into that. But they can play offense. Their defense has struggled lately. I have Iowa State, which is an elite defensive team. They're not very good offensively when you look at historical numbers at KenPom to win a national championship. But I think if they have the right matchups, they could make the run to get there. And I want to take Tennessee to get to the Final Four. I'm up to my eyeballs with futures with a lot of these teams. But I'm telling you, Mansamich kind of stole my thunder in the previous segment. Tennessee is the team I really would look at for the best value to win the national championship. They're playing very well, and they have a go-to player, and that's the key. They have a guy that they can rely on to score, when they need a basket.
Yeah, I invoked Danny Manning in the Miracles moments ago. It just kind of, he's got that potential, let's put it that way. And that dude's growth spurt, like, he is huge. Dalton Connect we're talking about for Tennessee. Mike, pleasure talking to you, man. I hope to see you here in Vegas soon.
Yeah, hope to be out there for the Final Four. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Michael Montesano, everybody. Circa Booby Prize winner back in 2021.
Yeah, great.
bizarro sharpness to win the booby prize.
Once
you make the decision.
We've talked about it a lot. That's a whole other type of skill. And it is not easy to do. That is for sure.
Joe Pita thinks, like, if you're, he's like, yeah, just go for the booby. I'm like, I'm not that good at that. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting network.